Your next speaker is Lyndall R. Doty.
On one occasion, a young boy asked his father, a Christian father, "Daddy, what is a Christian?" His father began to explain in detail what it involved to really be a Christian, how it involved faithfulness on the part of the person, and how it involved dedication and service and so forth. And at the end of the rather lengthy definition of what a Christian was, the boy looked up into his daddy's face and said, "Daddy, have I ever seen one?" I think sometimes, you know, when we start talking about Christians, we have a tendency to not really have clearly in mind what we're talking about. We even use adjectives in front of our terms. You know, we talk about faithful Christians, we talk about unfaithful Christians, we talk about dedicated Christians, and we talk about lazy Christians and all kinds of Christians. Of course, the Bible is clear about what a Christian is. A Christian is one who follows Christ, and literally one who belongs to Christ. That's what the idea of the word means. But I'm afraid that in our 20th century, and perhaps even in this congregation, we have what could commonly be referred to as average Christians. Someone has defined an average Christian in the following terms, most of them in a negative way. It said an average Christian has little respect for the Lord's day and what's to be done on it. It seems that the average Christian has a little understanding of the use of his money, his stewardship of what God has given to him to use upon this earth for the good of others, for the good of the Lord's work. That the average Christian has very little understanding of the Bible, really. That the average Christian has little concern for evangelism and for those who are lost round about him. And that the average Christian has little regard for the Lord's church. If that's true, that's a sad commentary on the Christianity, isn't it? It's a sad commentary on those of us who claim to be Christians today. If the average Christian, overall, has these negative characteristics and descriptions. We don't want to be average Christians, not in this sense. We want to be above average, don't we? We want to be what the Lord would have us to be. We want to really be Christians, whatever that term, ideal Christian or faithful Christians. We want to be what the Lord would have us to be when He uses the term Christian, when it's found three times in the New Testament. We want to be what they were. We want to be what the Lord would have us to be. We want to be what God wants us to be, don't we? Today I want to suggest to you three things found in Colossians chapter 3, or at least three ideas found in Colossians 3, as to how to overcome being an average Christian in the definition that we've used. We don't want to be that way, so what are some ways that we can overcome being an average Christian? First of all, it's going to take a renewed sense of loyalty. A renewed sense of loyalty. We know what loyalty is. We know what it is when it comes to being loyal to our country. We know what it is when it comes to being loyal to our wife and family and friends, don't we? We know what it is. We don't have to have a definition from some preacher on Sunday morning to tell us what loyalty is. Well, we need a renewed interest in loyalty in Christianity. In Colossians 3, verse 1 and 2, "If then you were raised together with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated on the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things that are above and not on the things that are upon the earth." What Paul is saying here is, yes, since we have been raised together with Christ, let's be loyal. Let's be loyal to Him in our new profession, in our new vocation, in our new work. We need to be loyal to Christ, particularly. We need to be loyal to Him as our Lord and as our Savior. as the Son of God, our Messiah, our Deliverer, the appointed one of God, the anointed one of God, the determined one of God to save us from sin, our Savior, our Lord, our Messiah. We need to be loyal to Him. After all, He deserves loyalty, doesn't He? After all, He died for us. He shed His blood on the cross of Calvary for us, for me and for you. We ought to be loyal to Him. He deserves our loyalty. And we need to be loyal to Him, even unto death. Revelation 2 and verse 10. Also, we need to be loyal to the local church, which is a manifestation of Christ upon the earth. The body of Christ is the church, says Paul in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. And we need to remember that Jesus is the head of the church, which is His body. And He's the Savior of the body, Ephesians 5, verse 23 and 25. He's the Savior of the body. He's the head of the body. It's His body, and we need to be loyal to the Lord in His body. We need to be loyal to the church. My friends, you cannot be loyal to Jesus Christ without being loyal to His body. There is no membership at large in the Lord's church. There never has been. We become a part of the body of Christ. We identify with the body of Christ. We work with the body of Christ in the local congregation. That's the way we serve the Lord. You're not members at large. You're not Christians at large. Yes, you have to have a personal relationship, but once that personal relationship is found in an acceptance of the Lord through faith on your part, then you're added by Him to that body and you become an integral part, and you must be loyal to that body. You must maintain a loyalty to the church. In order to be more than just an average Christian, you need to be loyal. Loyal to the Lord, loyal to His church, and also we need to have a new sense of loyalty to the Word of God. It is still the Word of God which converts. It is still the Word of God which is truth. It is still the Word of God which we must follow and in which we must live in order that we might have heaven and the hope of heaven. It is the Word of God that we must be willing to submit our wills to. It is the will of God that we must be obedient to. It is the will of God and only the will of God that can save us. Jesus said in Matthew 7 and verse 21, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Loyalty to the will of God, to the Word of God. We must be loyal. In order to be more than average, we've got to have a renewed interest again in the Lord Jesus Christ and loyalty to Him. Loyalty to His church and loyalty to the Word which establishes this church and brings to us the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so then, we must have a renewed interest in loyalty. Now, secondly, we must have a renewed interest or a renewed consciousness of our own death to self. Notice that He says here in verse 3, "For ye died." Why are we to be loyal? Why are we to seek first since we've been raised with Christ? Why are we to set our minds, literally place our minds firmly fixed on things which are above? Why? "For ye died, and your life is hid with Christ in God." You see, we need to remember, we need to renew that consciousness, that awareness of the fact that we died to self when we accepted Jesus Christ as Lord. And when we come again to grips with the fact that it's no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me. I have crucified the flesh, you see. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. So then, this death, this consciousness, this awareness of our death to self is a deliberate death. It is a death that we deliberately involve ourselves in. We deliberately died to self. And now we must continue in that separation. Death is from a Greek word, phanatos, in the Greek, and it literally means to be separated. In the physical sense, it's to be separated from the body from the soul, the body from the spirit, James chapter 2. But in a spiritual sense, it means to be separated from something else. Spirit, in one sense, sin brings spiritual death, separation from sin. a separation from God because of sin. But also, death is used in another way, and that is the separation of ourselves from our sins. That we die to our old way of life, that we die to our old sins. We no longer live in keeping with those former ways. We no longer let our wills control our lives any longer, but rather the will of Christ is now in control. Jesus Christ is now Lord of my heart, you see. And He controls my will and my emotions and my intellect. It is no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me, Paul says. And I don't think there's any better way to put it than that. It is a deliberate death, and it must be a continually deliberate dying to self. You know, Jesus admonished us that we are to take up our cross daily and follow after Him. If any man is willing to lose his life, he shall gain his life. If any man wants to hold on to his life and will not let it go, then he will lose his life. Isn't that strange? It's a paradox, but it's true. And what Jesus is talking about is a spiritual thing. Dying to the old selfish, sinful ways and a renewing of life and living in a new way. A way which is a way of righteousness, a way of truth, a way which is pointed out in God's will. And so then it's a deliberate death, and it's a daily death. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, and verse 31, I die daily. How did he keep Christ in his heart? How did he keep self out of the way? He literally put himself to death daily. He turned from sin. He renewed his heart and his mind in dedication to serve righteousness and serve the Lord. We need to do that every day. It's a deliberate death, and it's a daily death, and it's a decisive death. We must be willing to expect a change. You know, we've gotten so complacent in the church, we've gotten to the idea that we don't really expect people to be any different when they become Christians. Well, that's foreign to what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that when we become Christians, we're different. And we need to accept the fact that we're going to be different. We're going to be different from those around about us. We're going to be different in our way of thinking. We're going to be different in our activities. We're going to be different in our recreation. We're going to be different in the way we talk. We're going to be different in the way we think. We're going to be different. And we must be willing to renew that decisive death to self and death to sin every day in a deliberate way. And let it be apparent to all that we have made that decision. You know, our friend Billy Graham, in his preaching and his sermons, and some of you have heard him and probably some of you have read some of his books, calls for a decision. He says, make a decision for Christ. Now, if he would just go on and then tell them what they need to do once they make that decision in order to come to the Lord, it would be great, wouldn't it? He stops too quick. It's right to make a decision. You must make a decision. It's you who must decide. It's you who must decide to die to self and no longer live for self and selfish interests and the things of this world, but rather to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. You must decide that. But decision is not the stopping place. Decision is the starting place. Decision leads to activity and action and compliance and acceptance of God's gift of grace and God's gift of salvation. And so then, we must expect a change. And it must be a decisive change. It must be a decision that you made, and it must be obvious to those round about us. Look at what Paul says in Colossians 3 and verse 4. Put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake cometh the wrath of God upon the sons of disobedience, wherein ye also once walked, when ye lived in these things. But now do ye also put them all away, anger and wrath and malice and railing and shameful speaking out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his doings and put on the new man that is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. Isn't it clear that Paul is saying that in order for us to be the kind of people that God would have us to be, you must die to self, and you must put away that old manner of life. It must be a decisive, distinctive break with sin. We need a renewed interest. and renewed decision to die to self. And then thirdly today, we need, in order to be above the average Christian, in order to be what God would have us to be, we need to have a renewed acceptance of your place in the family of God. A renewed awareness and acceptance of your place in the family of God. You know, the Bible is filled, the New Testament I'm talking about particularly, is filled with the idea that we have become the sons of God. And in fact, in Timothy, Paul points out to Timothy that the church is the household of God. And literally, that simply says the church is the family of God. And since we are sons and daughters through faith in Christ Jesus, and since we have been born again into a new family, we have a new relationship. We have a new relationship with one another. Not only a renewed and a different relationship with the world, but we have a new relationship with one another as children of God in Christ Jesus. And we need to renew our awareness that we are members of God's family. You are a member. If you're a Christian, you're a member of God's family. You're a son or daughter of God. And you have a place in God's family. God intends for you to meet a need. You have something to do that I cannot do. You have a spot to fill that I cannot fill. You have activities to engage in that I cannot engage in. You have people to touch that I cannot touch. You have people to uplift that I cannot uplift. You have people to teach that I cannot teach. You have people to serve that I cannot serve. You are a member of this family. And no one else can do what God has for you to do. We must renew our awareness of that fact. Awareness of the fact that we have a place in God's family. And that place is a place of service. The place that you and I have and hold and literally fill is a place of service. Jesus said in John chapter 13, after bending down on his knees and wrapping a towel around his waist and taking a pan of water and washing the disciples' feet, he said, "You go and do like I've done." And he says, "Blessed are ye if you know these things and do them." And what he was showing to the apostles is a place of service, a place that they must humble themselves and be willing to occupy, a place that no one else can take but them. They had an obligation. They had a responsibility to serve others. Jesus himself said, "I came not to be served, but to serve." And we ought not to be in the church thinking, "I want to be served." But my place in the church should be, by every one of us, a place of service. Blessed are you. There's the secret. Blessed are you if you know these things and do them. Want to be happy? Serve. We must have a renewed interest in service in the Lord's family. Service means submission. I cannot be the kind of servant that I need to be. I cannot serve the way the Lord would have me to be unless I'm willing to be submissive to the Lord's will. In order for me to be an active, involved member of the family of God in serving Him and serving other people and fellow members of my family, I must be willing to be submissive myself. Not high, not haughty, not pride-filled, but rather humble and humbleness. Humility on my part in serving others. Be willing to serve. And also service means a vision of a lost world. It means to open up and lift up our eyes into the world and see that the world is filled with people who are lost. That those round about us are lost. It involves, when I think about service in God's family, it involves me in looking and lifting up my eyes and saying, "There's a lost world out there. And I have a responsibility to help reach that lost world with the gospel of Christ. Some way, whatever way I have the ability to do so, I have an obligation in order to meet my responsibility in serving in the family, to bring others into that relationship with God. And also, service means personal concern. Look at verse 12 of Colossians chapter 3. Put on, therefore, as God's elect, holy and beloved, a heart of compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving each other. If any man have a complaint against any, even as the Lord forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. Or we need to have a renewed interest in service in the sense that I have a personal concern. I have compassion. That I have a forgiving attitude. That I'm forbearing toward my fellow members in the family of God. You know, I need to overlook mistakes that people make in my regard. I need to forgive words that are said in an unkind way. I need to be willing to put on, as Jesus said, above all, or as Paul said, above all these things, put on love. We're a family. And as family, we need to love one another as family. To be concerned, every one of us, for the welfare and the good of others, of each and every one of us. In order for us to really be the kind of Christians that we ought to be, we've got to have that kind of relationship. Personal concern. Personal concern, not only for the lost, and we talk a lot about that if we need to be, but listen, we need to have personal concern for our own brothers and sisters in Christ who have not really died to self, but are still living for self. And who don't know any better. Who have not really been loyal to the Lord and His church. And James says, my brethren, if any among you err from the truth, let him know that he that converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall cover a multitude of sins. And Galatians 6 and verse 1, if any among you sin or stumble, says, ye who are spiritual, restore such an one to the spirit of, in the spirit of gentleness, lest thou also be tempted. We must be concerned about our brothers because they are our brothers. And so today, we don't want to be average Christians. At least we don't want to follow the definition that I suggested today that some have defined average Christian as in the 20th century. We want to be more than that. We want to be above that. We want to be what the Lord would have us to be, don't we? So then I want to challenge you today to renew your loyalty, to have a renewed sense of death to self, and also to have a renewed acceptance of your place in the family of God.